Hello and welcome to Series 3 of Lificast, the official podcast for the International Festival of Ideas, brought to you by Chapter 81 Productions. My name is Lottie Leeming. It's a pleasure to be your host today as we take a journey of discussion, debate and discovery. Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the future of adult entertainment, how technology and subscription services change the industry. Is it moving from beyond the margins and into the mainstream, or is there still a stigma and censorship surrounding this sector? Well, I'm delighted to introduce our guest today. Amber O'Donnell is an OnlyFans model and content creator based in South Yorkshire. Hello, Amber. Thanks
Hi.
For coming.
Hi, having me.
And also we've got Vex Ashley, a porn performer, director, producer and filmmaker. Vex has a production company called Four Chambers. And Vex, you're marking 10 years in the industry, aren't you, this year?
That's right, yeah, for my sins.
Thank you so much for joining us on Lificast. So Vex, first of all, tell us how you got into the adult entertainment industry.
Well, I was at university. I was studying art and I was spending a lot of time online on a particular website called tumblr.com, which isn't actually around in the same way anymore. But at that time, it was a site where basically people were curating pornography kind of next to all of their other artistic interests. And I was kind of interested to see if that was something that I could do. Maybe bringing some of the aesthetic or kind of conceptual considerations that I was putting into my artwork and mixing them with porn, basically. I had sort of started webcamming to pay my way through university, and it was, you know, making me more money than I was making it like a minimum wage retail job. And I just connected with this amazing community of people who were all kind of making porn content, but in a way that I hadn't seen before. You know, they didn't necessarily have to adhere to like the porn stereotype that maybe you would consider. And that was something that was really exciting to me. It felt like untapped territory, really, for me to maybe explore something creative. And that was 10 years ago.
So sort of by accident, but then you came to really thrive in this industry and create something different and diverse that you haven't seen before?
Yeah, I think I was not necessarily interested in the kind of more traditional way of working. Like, I wanted to do something that I felt like looked really interesting. And, you know, I came from a community of people who were like more diverse and more kind of engaged with doing something that maybe felt a little bit outside of that like narrow definition of porn that sometimes we think about when we imagine the word porn in our heads. So with Four Chambers, like our ideal is that we make something that's both like conceptually interesting. The sex is really hot, but it's maybe doing or saying something different than just maybe something that you would masturbate to and then close your laptop and delete your browser history.
But that, as you say, is what we still see in 2023, don't we? The sort of films and the content from a very white male hetero viewpoint.
I think that what is interesting, like as I've spent more time kind of in this world, is that there was a point, I think, like when I joined the industry, I guess, for want of a better word, even though we call it an industry, but it's actually so diverse. And there's so many people making things from all different kinds of perspectives. So it isn't just this monolith. But I do think that the way that when we look at porn from the outside, we see it as we see that most content is made for a certain type of consumer, because there was a point maybe previous to something like OnlyFans and these kind of more decentralized platforms that the only way you could guarantee that you were going to get paid for porn was to make porn for the kind of person who paid for it. And the kind of person that paid for it was your typical porn consumer, which is like a straight, white, middle-aged man. And so therefore, you know, in order to make money, you had to satisfy his needs. And what's really interesting is now with something like OnlyFans and the more decentralized kind of content, we're realizing that actually, because our sexuality is a lot more diverse than that, and the kind of people who are making content are able to prove that you actually don't necessarily just need to pander to that kind of gaze, you can do stuff that really breaks that mold and sits outside of that box.
Yeah, so we're seeing more diversity, more choice, and aren't we? So OnlyFans, relatively recent. And Amber, tell us how you made your account, you know, what led to that?
So I started mine during COVID because I wasn't entitled to furlough. So I was only getting like £500 universal credit during the pandemic, and it was not paying any of my bills. So I knew a girl from my hometown that did it, and she was making like £10,000 a month. And I thought, wow, like if I could make that kind of money, that would change my life. So towards the end of the pandemic, like towards the end of 2020, I made my account and started posting pictures on there. It started really selling feet pics, to be fair. I didn't really know there was a market for it, but I found that there was. So I started doing that on Twitter, which kind of led to me then making the OnlyFans, and then the rest is history.
And to make that a success, because we've seen that, haven't we? Certainly now we're seeing loads of people say, I'm not going to follow the route I thought was going to, I'm going to go into medicine or arts or whatever. I'm going to do OnlyFans. I'm going to make loads of money. But how easy is it to make money on OnlyFans with the subscription charges?
I definitely don't think it's easy money. And I think it definitely has a stigma of being easy money. And people think, obviously, OnlyFans girls have it easy. You know, you just upload pictures and then you're rich. And that's definitely not how it works. I'm not saying that it's hard graft, and I'm not saying that like the money reflects the amount of graft that goes into it. But, you know, you have to build a relationship with all your subscribers, and that requires constant messaging, constant new uploads, like thinking of new ideas. And obviously you want to get the subscribers in from the first place. So that comes from other avenues such as TikTok, YouTube. So it's about constantly making content, whether it be explicit or things for like TikTok, to get subscribers to your page. So it's not as easy as just, oh, I upload a few pictures and then I'm going to make 10K this month. It's really a lot more work than that. And it is mainly on your phone. Like my screen time is horrific. I don't even want to look because it's like 12, 14 hours a day, but that's how I make money. So that's what I've got to do.
You're living online, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
To get people to pay, as you say, they're not just going to want to look at a picture, they want to talk to you, chat to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And it's the personal, exactly. It's that personal touch, which I think a lot of users use the site for, because you're talking to this model that you find really attractive. So, you know, like back in, I don't say back in the day because it wasn't that long ago, but when people used to watch porn on Pornhub, they take a shine to a particular model. There was very few avenues where you could go and talk to that model. Whereas now you can see a model on Twitter, on TikTok, and think, oh, I really like her. Go and see her naked photos, videos, whatever she posts, and get to know her on a personal level too. And I think that's a really big selling point for OnlyFans, is the personal touch.
And Vex, how do you find that charging for the films you're making? Are people wanting their kicks for free, or are they willing to pay?
I think that there has always been, at least recently, this kind of idea that people don't want to pay for porn, and that people want this very anonymous, detached experience where basically, you know, anyone that they consider to be vaguely hot, they just want to click on a video and then kind of immediately forget about it. There's this kind of idea that porn is disposable, and that's been really fed by, you know, the last 15 years of pornography, where really what happened was the tube sites made it so that porn became a commodity that was not worth very much, because in the same way that Napster kind of disrupted the music industry, tube sites disrupted porn. And I think that what's been really proven is the kind of the value of pornography in people's lives, but also on a personal level, exactly what you're saying, which is that actually people are interested in finding somebody that they like, following them on social media, and getting to kind of see something about them more than just their sexual performance. And I think that that's something that I've definitely noticed, that like building a community of people around you is as important as just having hot content. And I think that for a lot of people, that's really where the labor and the time comes in, is actually fostering some degree of that personal connection. And with sites like OnlyFans, you see people putting in hours and hours a day just talking to people. Because I mean, when I was a cam girl, this was exactly the same, where it was like, it was essentially like being a children's TV presenter, you know, a therapist and, you know, a stripper all at the same time. And you have to navigate those worlds very delicately. And I think that that's something that's still really important to remember is that, you know, there are people behind these sexual performances, and it's actually the people that consumers are interested in, not just necessarily the sex, because, you know, anyone can just type, you know, naked pictures into Google and see some random naked pictures. It's about, you know, who those pictures are of, and what your connection is to them in a lot of ways, I think.
So the future, we're seeing technology all the time, very much the adult entertainment industry drives technology, don't you? We've seen that, haven't we, from cable to DVDs, you know, and streaming. Do you think that people are protected more now because, you know, there's so much desire and people want to see it everywhere? We've all got mobile phones, but do you feel like it's regulated, that people are being looked after more now?
People behind the camera or people consuming?
Performers. Do you feel like they are being protected more?
For me, I think that, you know, the most important thing is realizing that, like, performers are people with agency. They're not necessarily, you know, exploited. You know, often we think of porn performers as exclusively women, but they're people, like, across the gender spectrum. You know, we see them as these kind of exploited, silly, you know, kind of naive people who don't really know what they're getting into. And I think, you know, my experience is that many people are incredibly, like, thoughtful and, you know, are able to talk and think a lot about the nature of the work. And I think that, you know, for me, something like OnlyFans has really put power back into the hands of performers, because when I very first started out, mainstream porn performers were essentially waiting to be booked by a big studio to perform in a professional porn scene, for which they would get, you know, $1,000, let's say. And then that studio would own the rights to that image forever, and they would be able to repackage that, sell that however they would like, put any label on it, talk about that performer's body, that performer's race, that performer's sexuality in any way that studio wanted to. You had to sign over the rights to allow them to do any of that. And now, performers own their own content. They market their own content in a way that feels good for them. They're able to kind of really build something that hopefully feels okay for them. And I think that's a really big step in the right direction, because, you know, performing sex comes with a degree of societal risk, and that level of vulnerability is something that shouldn't be taken lightly. And I don't think that performers do take it lightly. But I think having that level of control over your content is really important and has been a step in the right direction for regards to performer safety.
Do you feel like that, Amber, that you know, if you're filming this at home, you're deciding what you want to put out there? Do you feel in control of not only the financial aspect, but also of your image, your body?
For sure. And as well, like, if you film a video and then in a few months you decide, actually, I hate that video, delete it, it's gone. Like, people that have bought it can still see it, but nobody else has to see it. And like you're saying, like, when you make a mainstream porn film in the porn industry, like, you don't own the rights to that body, to that video. If you don't like anything about it, you don't like who you're working with, you don't really have any say in it anymore. OnlyFans definitely does put the control back in your hands and allows you to make content that you feel comfortable with, content that you want to do. And there's no pressure from, like, any outside sources to force you to do things that you don't want to do.
If we talk about, like, data and algorithms and things like that, Vex, I mean, the big companies, they're experts at these sorts of things, don't they? Have experts dealing with all this. How difficult is it for you with your content to get things out there?
I mean, I feel really lucky in that, you know, I was never intending to, you know, be the biggest porn site in the world. The stuff that I make is quite niche, and I'm quite happy for people, you know, the people that want to find the content, for them to be able to enjoy that. But, you know, I was under no illusions that I was ever going to be, you know, the next Brazzers or the next Pornhub or something like that. The thing that's been most difficult for us has been social media censorship, really, because social media was always the way that we were able to kind of build a community around the site, you know, around me. And I've seen it just ramp up and up in recent years, where it just feels like there was a point where the internet was really, it was really radical, you know, it was really about building communities around very niche interests. And it feels like more and more it's now about selling you something. It's now about corporations kind of using it as a way to collect your data and to sell you more stuff. And I think that that level of kind of depersonalization has basically meant that it's harder and harder for people to really like use the internet for what I think it's best at, which is like community building. And for us, you know, just I want to be able to explicitly talk about what I do, because I think if somebody wants to access porn, they should be able to hopefully come to me and find it. But I think if they don't want to, they should maybe see that I make porn and go, that's not for me, I'm going to move on. But the problem is because the level of censorship is so intense, it means that you can't have those conversations out there in the open. You can't discuss things in like a way that, you know, both normalizes it and makes discussion a part of the community. And that's basically meant that it's harder and harder for, you know, when I make something, for people, the people that I want to see it, to be able to see it. And I think that it's a slippery slope into just making the whole of the internet this really bland, homogenous, censored space.
And yet, you know, so we're here in 2023, sex sells, we talk about it in film, all walks of life, don't we? Media, on big streaming giants. And yet there's something about, isn't the adult entertainment industry, that we still push it into the shadows and can't quite get it into the mainstream. Do you think OnlyFans, Amber, is sort of getting it out there a bit more?
I think so, but there's still a stigma about it. Like when I first meet people, I feel like they ask me what I do. Sometimes like I can't, I have to suss them out a bit before I'm like, I do OnlyFans, because you never really know what someone's reaction is going to be to that. Because sometimes, although it's like a bit more normal now for girls to have an OnlyFans, there's still a massive stigma attached and a lot of people still don't agree with it. So you have to, well, I feel personally like I have to be wary of who I say I do OnlyFans to, because I don't know how they're going to judge me for that. Which is a shame, really, because it is like, it's like it's taboo to talk about it. But, you know, some girls go on OnlyFans and pose topless. Tomorrow, if I wanted to, I could go to Spain and go topless on a beach and not get paid for it. And that would be okay. But if I want to go topless online and charge a fee for it, that's not okay. So it's like people kind of judge you for expecting to be paid for it, I think is the way to put it. Maybe I'm not wording it right, but that's how I feel. Like you've there's many places in the world where you can go topless, you can go naked, you know, magazines, newspapers at some point, and that was great. But now you charge a price for it. If I say, oh, it's £10 a month to see my naked pictures, people are like, oh, well, you're a this, that, the other, you know what I mean? They've got a label for you straight away.
Do you feel that's the case then, Vex, as well?
Yeah, I really think that like part of doing sex work is complicated. Like, every industry is very, the commodification of all different parts of our like human experience is very complicated. But I think there is something really important in what you said, which is that like, you know, it's not just women who do sex work, but it is primarily, like the majority of people doing sex work are women. And there's this idea that it's okay as long as they're being sexualized from the outside and not getting to profit off of that. You know, you move through the world experiencing the complexity of being sexualized and this idea that actually, if you then take control of that in some capacity, and it's not perfect control, but it is some degree of control, and you leverage that for financial gain, all of a sudden that is, you know, the scarlet letter is on you and you are ostracized from society. But we move in a space where our sexuality is, like, for better or worse, and I often think sometimes for worse, but a commodity. But it's when you're in control of that commodity that then the that's where the complexity lies, I think.
So how do you combat that? Is that with more diverse filmmakers and women and people from different backgrounds taking control and making more content?
I think just talking about it more without trying to be ashamed of it. would make such a difference. And, you know, I'm at a point in my life now where I'm being given opportunities because of my OnlyFans, such as this boxing tournament that I'm doing. Like, I got that because I'm big on OnlyFans and I'm known for that. And so now I feel a bit more able to talk about it to friends and family that maybe before I wouldn't have wanted them to know that I do OnlyFans. But now I feel like I'm quite proud of it because, you know, me doing OnlyFans has led to me being able to get all these opportunities. And I think the more I'm open about it and the more comfortable I feel talking about it, the less people judge me for it. That might not be true, but that's personally how I feel. But yeah, I think there is like a massive stigma on the word. And I think the more we talk about it and the more we normalize it, maybe the less taboo it will feel.
It's allowing you to be an entrepreneur, isn't it?
Exactly.
Doing all these different things. And Vex, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, sex sells. It's a crucial part of our society. But let's think about sex education in schools, you know, barely touched on really. And so young people can be turning to porn sites for their education about sex and sexuality. So we need to be talking about it from an early-ish age, don't we? Do we need more in schools? Do they need to be more proactive in this?
I think the reality is that we live in a society that sex is a huge part of. It always has been. Like, it's such a kind of key underpinning of our experience as humans and like as a society. But there's this idea that, you know, explicit depictions of sex, they need to be kept in the shadows, they need to be marginalized, they need to be hushed up. And the reality is that's given us quite a complicated and dysfunctional relationship with sex, which is why we get so much pushback from people that do own and kind of explore their sexuality in a lot of ways. And I think it's, you know, doing us all a massive disservice. Like, it's kind of, we're seeing with the kind of rise in popularity of certain sites like OnlyFans, like Pornhub, that visibility in society is at an all-time high. But the pushback against that is now also at an all-time high. You know, it's harder and harder to find communities or sex online that kind of feels really authentic, that feels really, we're able to explore the kind of complexity and the diversity of human sexuality. And I think that you're absolutely right that schools and colleges are being pressured, and you see it every day, to not really have any degree of sex education. And people aren't getting that necessarily at home. And it does weirdly feel like there's this kind of almost like a pushback from people to kind of shut down some of the conversations that we should really be having about sex. You know, porn is made as entertainment, like it is its purpose is to entertain, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be the most realistic or the most quote unquote authentic. And that's fine because that's not its purpose. But the problem is because we don't have that counter of a realistic and an authentic discussion of sex to allow us to put the entertainment into proper context, we're existing in a society where porn is filling a gap that shouldn't be there. We should be able to have a conversation about what day-to-day sex looks like. We should be able to see depictions of day-to-day sex so that then we can also enjoy this like fantastical, exaggerated depiction of sex.
Genuinely think the best thing we can do is talk about it more. I mean, I think another thing that quite similar to what you were saying is it seems very taboo to talk about women masturbating. I feel like with men, it's very like, men do it, but it's like women don't do it. And women are very shy about admitting that they do it. And I think that is also a stigma that comes from like ingrained from school and stuff, because it's not really shown that that's okay to do that. Everybody does it. Like, and I feel like there is a massive stigma at the minute on things like that as well. And I do genuinely agree with what you're saying, that if we do talk about these things more in school and kind of normalize it. That's the best thing we can do, is just normalize it. Everybody has sex. Like, at some point in our lives, we're all gonna have sex. Mm. Like, and when these kids grow up, it's better for them to have a real good idea of like what goes on instead of just some vague sex education class that didn't really touch on much. And then they'll turn to other avenues and maybe not get the best kind of information. Yeah.
It's actually kind of interesting. Like, I always kind of quote this, which is that actually there's been more female porn directors, you know, working, directing in porn by kind of percentage than there ever has been in Hollywood. So we have this idea that like women have never necessarily been, never really had that agency in porn. But the reality is it, you know, it definitely hasn't been great in any industry, but the porn and sexuality has always in lots of ways been more kind of hinged on the power of people who are more marginalized. So I do think that like we should really be speaking about pleasure more. We should be exploring pleasure. You know, the idea that you can watch someone get their head cut off on at 7 p.m. on like a mainstream TV channel, but we can't see two people essentially on a quest for like mutual pleasure is completely ridiculous when it's such an important part of our experience as humans. For me, I think that that really like porn is going to always be there. Like sex work is always going to be there. There are always going to be people who are willing to exchange money to see people naked. We're curious about it. It makes total sense that we're curious about it, and to try and other it and to push it away, I think is what's really kind of encouraging this divide and the stigma that you're talking about. And I think that the best thing that we can kind of do is to not let it stay in the shadows in lots of ways, like to not necessarily keep it away from the other parts of our life, like bringing it in, talking about it, not just necessarily even keeping it behind a paywall. Like we should be able to share about our sexual experience in a way that feels like mutually sharing information rather than necessarily going, oh, you can only access this if it is on this shady corner of the internet that you have to put in a lot of, you know, identifying information about, and then, you know, that's not allowed to be included in polite society.
Because that's what's happened in the past, hasn't it? That it's the stigma and a guilt involved in it, like, oh yeah, I'm secretly trying to access this. But if we're more open about it, then, you know, our relationship with porn and each other probably will be a lot healthier, wouldn't it? So looking to the future, we've got OnlyFans, we're streaming, we've all got mobile phones, and, you know, that makes it so much more accessible. Are we going to move into things like VR and AI, Amber? Can you imagine that being in the industry and being popular?
I feel like this has come up quite recently. I saw it on Twitter, and it's like these images where these girls have like eight fingers and like they're really badly made. Because apparently feet and hands, when they edit these AI things, they're always dodgy. So like if you look at one, usually the figures have like an extra finger or like an extra hand.
So that's how we know it's you or not.
That's how you know if it's authentic, yeah. But I touched on to start with, it's a personal thing. Like people like to chat to the model. And whilst I think, yes, there's going to be some people that buy it, obviously people are into stuff like that. People are into anime, people are into cartoon porn. There really is a niche market for everything. But I think, especially with things like OnlyFans, I don't think something like AI is gonna, you know, run us girls out of business, because people like us, because they're talking to us and they're talking to a legit person. And I think for a lot of people, if they were on an AI page, that wouldn't have the same authentic feel for them.
Yeah, it's that relationship, isn't it, that you're not going to get from
having a girlfriend experience. Like some people talk to me all day, and I really get to know some of my subscribers and on a personal basis. So I think especially for a big portion of the market, that's what they like, and I don't think they'd get that from an AI kind of page.
And Vex, how about you as a filmmaker? Are you seeing this creep in or not?
I think, you know, it's fascinating, and I think that it would be naive of me to say that it isn't going to change or have an effect on lots of different industries, including adult entertainment. But exactly what you've said, which is that actually I feel like with this kind of rise in very polished, very filtered, very aesthetically clean images that we're seeing more and more, there's actually a pushback to that, in that I think people will always want some kind of semblance of reality, of rawness, of something that feels authentic, of something that feels real. And I think because we're living our lives more and more online and we're feeling more and more disconnected from that sense of reality, adult entertainment, we're actually seeing a rise in search terms for things like, you know, amateur, authentic, homemade, because people are actually really craving something that doesn't feel quite as polished. So I think that there will definitely be things about that, about technology like AI, that will change the adult industry, but there it might also change it in a way that we wouldn't expect.
Yeah, maybe with COVID, the pandemic, and yeah, living online a lot, maybe we are craving, aren't we, that sort of realism rather than fantasy, homemade, a bit amateurish. You know, it doesn't matter if you feel that couple or that group are authentic and you can relate to them. And you've said that, Amber, with your content, that, you know, it is, isn't it? It's not polished. It's very much here I am, take me or leave me sort of thing.
I've recently stopped editing most of my photos because it was taking me a long time. And when I was looking at the photos afterwards, it wasn't making a great difference. And I thought, it's so much more authentic if I just don't edit them and upload them. And it's just raw footage that I've just taken and upload it straight there. And I remember doing like a poll on my OnlyFans asking people if that's what they preferred. And the majority was actually like 97% preferred them unedited, unfiltered, just literally pictures that you take in your mirror, almost like the kind of pictures that they'd be sent by a person if they were talking to them. So like if you were met someone on Tinder and like you'd had a few dates and you asked them to send you like a sexy picture, the kind of thing that you would get sent, like that feels authentic. I think that's especially what my subscribers like, is that for sure.
And Vex, how about you? You know, you're marking 10 years now in the industry. Technology has always been at the forefront, hasn't it, in this industry? You've always driven things really quickly from film to DVDs and then the cable and streaming. So what next for you and your filmmaking and what you do?
I honestly think that it's actually sometimes it feels a little hard to look to the future because we are really seeing this huge ramp up in censorship and in legislation that makes it harder and harder to exist as a creator in the adult industry. You know, for me, I just want to be left alone to make my like silly little films. And I'm really happy that people are still really excited and want to see them and want to support me making them. You know, I would love to see, you know, more creators able to do things both more authentic and more fantastical. I'd love to be able to see the creative potential of porn be kind of treated as a medium in the same way that we think about like literature or filmmaking. You know, these are things that are investigating our human experience, and sex is a huge part of our experience. And for me, I would just love to be able to see both the people who are involved and the content that's being made, you know, expand in lots of ways, be more diverse, depict sex in the kind of all of its really interesting complexity. And I think the problem is that actually the climate that we're existing in at the moment is narrowing everything and keeping it very small. And I think that's a real shame. Yeah, the reality is that like porn and sex work have been a part of society, you know, since really like the dawn of time. Since people could use a camera, people have been taking naked pictures. It is clearly something that for lots of people is an important part of their life. And I think that technology in lots of ways really expanded that and really gave, you know, a lot of opportunities to for people to explore their sexuality in ways that maybe they wouldn't have had the option to when they were trying to buy a lad's mag off of the top of a newsagent shelf. And all of that is so important, and it's something that we shouldn't take for granted, and it's something that we should really work to fight to protect, because I don't want to go back to the days where, you know, in order to find out about sex, I would have to, you know, buy a lad's mag or you know, I want to be able to do exactly what you're saying, which is be able to have a conversation, be able to share, you know, experiences, be able to find, you know, work that maybe looks at sexuality in a different way, that depicts sexuality in a way that we don't see in this very kind of homogenized, heteronormative like bubble that the reality that of is that mainstream media kind of only shows us this one very narrow depiction of sex. And I think that porn doesn't really get enough credit for really opening up a lot of sexual possibility for a lot of people. And it just gets a lot of grief really for being like almost too interesting, you know, too captivating, but we never really examine why that is. And we never really like treat it with the same value that we would any other part of our experience.
Well, Vex and Amber, I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for being so open and honest. And it's just been fascinating. Thank you for being on Lifecast.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.